Then he spoke.
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
So the recording kicked in. All right.
Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night? Oops, excuse me.
Hold it.
Who cry out? Hold on just a minute.
Cry out day and night.
Day and night.
To him.
To him, though he bears long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them steadily. Okay. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he readily find faith on the earth?
Okay. Did we get all our verses in?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. So this passage right here. Now let's do our little by little. It says it starts out with this then. And the then is a transitional passage, transitional word. And we see that the passage is moving on. It's going to take us from one degree to another degree. And it says in this verse, then he, that is, spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. So we see in that one verse right there, there is several things. There is spiritual laws. There's a spiritual law right there. There are things that man should do and things that we'll see that man should not do. It says here, it is a parable. Now, we've heard many parables since we've been in Luke. And there are many parables in the Bible, period. But Jesus now speaking this parable. A parable, as we know, is a earthly story about some heavenly good. And it's a something that can be said that relates to something earthly, such as the parable here has to do with the earthly thing being the heavenly thing being prayer. Prayer is something that is earthly. Now, there are many stories that can be told, but in the Bible, there are these parables. And these parables, the Bible is full of parables. So we see Jesus telling us a parable here, and he spoke this parable to his disciples. He tells them, men ought always to pray. And now that can be, we could say, part A, that men are to always pray. Well, do you mean always, always? Yes, Jesus meant always, always. Now, how are we doing with that? How are we doing with always praying? Well, it can depend on what degree you're talking about. We are always to pray. However, we also have to go to work. We have to do these certain earthly things, but we can stay in the attitude and the spirit of prayer. Now, prayer is something that we grow in grace. We grow in grace in prayer. And you all have heard the saying, little prayer, little power. And I have found that to be true, and I'm sure that you have as well. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. So Jesus tells us, and it's not that we should always pray. It is that we are always to pray. Always to pray. So I would like to ask you all, you don't have to answer, but how is your prayer life? How are you doing in prayer? Well, sometimes, if the truth be known, sometimes we wane in our prayers. Sometimes we're not so good, so faithful in our prayers. But if you're at least trying, and you know that trying could be a word, well, I try to pray. Well, sometimes we use that as an excuse. I try to pray. Well, how hard are you trying to pray? How hard am I trying to pray? So we need to, if you're in that category of trying to pray, and I'll say I'm in the category of saying I've been there. I've been there, and there's all kinds of hindrances to prayer. You know, you go out to pray, you go to pray, and I do declare that one of the sleepiest times can be when you fall asleep during the hour of prayer. And that is because there's an enemy that knows the power of prayer. So he does all that he can do to keep us from praying. So when we're not praying, we need to fight against that prayer, fight against that spirit of sleepiness, and do all that we can and work on our prayer. We even need to sometimes stretch our prayers. We need to, you know, if you're praying 1 hour, and I would challenge how many are praying 1 hour. Well, if you make it to 1 hour, what about another hour? At least stretch your prayers. Now, some have greater responsibilities as far as with their family, with the household, and you can't do certain things, but you can still always pray, regardless of what is going on in life. Prayer can always be made. So is anyone with any questions or comments on that? Men always ought to pray. And then it says here, and to not lose heart. So we know now one of the times that we lose heart and become discouraged is because of lack of prayer. So does anyone have a comment on that? I know we can all relate to prayer, whether you're in a prayer season and doing well in prayer, there's always room for improvement, or whether prayer is a challenge for you. So someone, if you don't mind, tell us a few things about your prayer life.
Okay, while they're thinking, Sister Velma, as you were saying that we should always pray and not to faint, but it be in the spirit of prayer, even if you at work, I'll say example. Because if I'm riding in the car, I may be having a conversation with the people that are riding with me. But I don't have to call their name every time I speak, because they'll know I'm talking to them. And it's the same way with our Father. If our spirit and our heart is in tune with him, and we have the relationship with him, he's listening to our cry, I believe.
Yes.
So I believe in that sense, we can continuously pray, just like you may start out with your morning prayer, but all through the day, you're thinking and communicating with him in spirit, and you can just talk to him and prayer. That's my comment. Somebody else?
And while someone else is thinking, any topic, nothing is too little or too small to take to God in prayer. He already knows what we need. He already knows our desires. He already knows our weaknesses. So we take those things, even our weaknesses, take them to God in prayer. He delights in that. Even our weakness, God wants to strengthen us. And the strength that we need comes from the Lord. And the more we pray, the more he gives us strength. The more we pray, the more we find help from the Lord. And this is not an overnight thing. Some, it may happen overnight, but it's an ongoing. This is an ongoing thing, growing in grace. Anyone else?
Well, this is Sister Christian. And so I find that my best times to pray is when I actually spend that time with him, usually when I first get up in the morning and the house is quiet, you know, so it's almost like I don't want to be like doing dishes and all that kind of stuff. I want to spend that time with him before my day. And so then I find out sometimes when I go to scripture, I kind of get distracted and I start, you know, reading the scripture more, you know, and then I wouldn't say that was a distraction, but obviously I get a word or something or scripture, and then I start looking it up. But then there are the times when I can be doing dishes and that it almost seemed like there's something heavy on my mind that I can communicate with him. Then it's almost like I know I'm in his presence at all times. And even though if I'm doing dishes or what some of these other things, I know that I can speak to him just as if I would my husband if I'm sitting at dinner table, you know, or whatever. So, but then there are times when I have the night, you know, the evening after I'm pretty much settled down from my day, you know, I find the evenings when I pick up my Bible and start reading more scripture, then I find a time that I just feel that I need to pray, you know, and commune with him. So that's kind of what I want to share with my experience,
okay, the
prayer.
Amen. And I've also discovered there are different seasons in life. And for me, you know, there's seasons of trials, seasons of victory, all kinds of seasons in life. But I've found out there's a time of battling in prayer. I mean, it could be, and this is not maybe true for everybody, but I have found it true for me that sometimes I have to battle in prayer. And by that I mean, I have to say, Lord, help me to pray. Give me a breakthrough. I need you to help me to pray, because, you know, and that has happened to me more than once. Lord, help me. And it's not that I don't want to pray and I don't really know how to phrase it. It's not that I don't want to pray. It's that I feel that it is really a battle that I'm in at this time in my life. So whereas, you know, I could pray more easily, but there's a lot of times prayer comes very hard for me. And it is at those times that I really have to call on the Spirit of God. And I'm a witness that the Spirit of God will help me, you know, because all times are not happy, happy. And it's not that I'm saying they should be. There are some real battles. And that's why Jesus said men ought always to pray. And if you haven't found out, you will find out, or maybe you have already found out already, that prayer can be a battle in and of itself. So I'm not saying that's true for everyone, but the hottest warfare, I would say, is during that sweet hour of prayer. And when you're trying to draw nigh to God and you want to do his will. Now, this is a personal walk with the Lord. You know, everybody has their own walk with the Lord. So there are certain things that are common to all of us. There's certain things that are common to all of us, such as what we're talking about tonight. Men ought always to pray. But then there are times where, Lord, I need your help. You've got to get me through this praying. I want to pray. I need to pray. And God brings me through. I'm a witness. God brings me through, or God will bring me through. And if I keep calling on the Lord, and sometimes that's all I can do. I mean, sometimes. And these seasons can last for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I do call on the Lord. And sometimes all I can get out. And you all, this is my story, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Is Jesus.
Yeah, I can agree with you. I can agree with you on that, because I was going to come back and tell you with the struggles and the battles that there's only, I can say it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that's all I can get out.
Yeah.
Nothing else, you know.
Yes.
And then later, you know, I can say, help me, Lord. Yes. That's about all that I can say, you know, yes, to get through this battle. So yes, I can relate to what you're saying.
Yes.
Definitely.
And I think we need to be real with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest with each other. Now, the Lord comes along and he helps us.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those seasons where he lets us go through. He lets us go through those dry seasons. And you all know the story of Job. Job was like, where are you, God? Where are you? I look for you all around. Where are you? And Job even got to the point where he questioned God. But he knew the Lord. So I just want to say, we want to be honest, especially when talking to new believers, or even old believers, that the battle, the journey, I should say the journey, because it is a journey. It has hills and valleys. It's got ups and downs. Now, I'm not trying to say all of it is a valley, but there are some people. And Lord, help me if I'm being wrong with this. Some people's lives are full of struggle. That's just how it is. Their lives, especially when you talk about people in other lands and nations that are running for their lives, they're doing all they can. You know, they've got these terrible times that they have to go through. And so I think here in this, I'm going to say Christian world, but I don't mean that. I mean to say sometimes us here in America, God has blessed us. We are so blessed that we are spoiled. Now, I enjoy the spoiling. Don't get me wrong. And I thank God for the favor. But we want to remember others. And I want to enjoy that favors as much as God wants to give it to me. But we want to be in tune to men ought always to pray. Because when we would do good, evil is present. And there's an enemy there that is out to do what? Lull us to sleep. He just wants us to lull us to sleep and be comfortable in prayer. Or thinking all is well. Whereas we should be diligently praying. Any other comments, anyone? Because someone listen.
This is Sister Sharon. I just wanted to say that yes, I do enjoy my daily devotional. But just like sometimes I would call a friend, I just call Jesus. He's my friend. And I talk to him. You may call it prayer, but I talk to him like he is my friend. I tell him some things that I probably wouldn't tell, I'll say, my earthly friends. I tell him some things that only he knows what's in my heart and what's on my mind. And I call it a prayer, but I also call it a conversation with my close friend that's always with me, and he understands. And then down the road, he speaks back to me, whether it be in scripture or put a song in my heart and know I love music. So he talks to me sometimes even through that. And, that's my kind of friend. And that's my one that an only friend that I can tell everything to and don't have to worry about it coming back from a third party.
Amen. Anyone else? So we can take everything to God in prayer.
Amen.
Now, before we move on, give one more chance. If there's any other comments, we're going to move on.
Well, I agree with Sister Young, and I thank you for that comment, Sister Young. It's so true, and I know there are others that probably agree and do the same similar things. And I was thinking about the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, because we can say whatever to him and we don't have to worry about hearing it from someone else all mixed up. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Sister Velma.
Yes.
The only thing I wanted to share, and I came in late only because I was talking with my nephew who has mental health issues, and you know, you can pray for 40 years for something and you never see anything, but it's that walk in faith and trust that God's working his way. And it may not be in our sight or our understanding, but to cling to him like you have been, no matter what we see or what we understand, he is God. He is our Father, our Good Shepherd, and to let go and let him do his thing, even though, oh, we so want to see miracles and, you know, different things. And nope, you just got to wait on him and just have that patience to trust him. Get out of the boat and just trust him because he's in the boat with you.
He's in the boat. And some of you are familiar with Hebrews.
Yes.
The book of Hebrews. And it talks about in chapter 11, I believe that's the chapter, the faith chapter. And the chapter kind of divides in two, where it talks about those with great faith, but they all had great faith. But it says some accomplished great works. They did miracles. They stopped the mouths of lions. You know, all those things we like to hear about. They stopped the mouths of lions. Now, that ain't no small thing right there. But they did stop the mouths of lions. But then that same chapter, and then it goes on to say, and it's a clean cut in there, but others died without seeing the fulfillment of the promise. And they were God's people. So there is a mystery in this that we can't figure God's ways out. Thank God that many times he has mercy on us and he works things out. But there are some times that things don't work out the way we would want them to work out. But we still hold on. Hold on to faith. And many times, that's all you got. That's in the end, that is all you have, is your faith. Because I don't know if you've thought about it, you should have, the hour of death. And it's drawing nigh for all of us. And for that time of death, wherever and whenever it may be, is drawing nigh. And we are to be prepared, be ready, and don't take for granted that it's going to be always easy. It can be difficult, not for everybody. God doesn't give everybody the same testimony. But there are many, and we all need, men ought always to pray. And one thing it does is keep us grounded, keep us guarded, you know, and be on guard. Okay, anyone else? And then I'm moving on.
Yeah, I'd like to add another side of it too. Sometimes you're challenged to pray, and you think you're, you know, in a closet by yourself, and you are, you know. I know when I go in my closet, I'm single, so I have no one else to go in my closet with me. But 40 years ago, when my son was sick, I had a lady at church come up to me. I had never seen her before, never met her before, but she came up to me and she said, "I've been praying for your son." Because, you know, my family would go to the church, and he was a baby at the time. My family would go to the church. So she knew I had a baby, but I don't know that she knew that he was a boy because he was still in arms. Nevertheless, she said, "I'm praying for you and your son." And I'll never, ever forget that day she walked. And I never talked to her again, but it just really blessed me. And since then, there were times when I was literally waking up out of my sleep and urged to pray for someone. And I had to get up, go in my prayer place, or even lay there, which is another prayer place, actually. But either way, and I had to pray fervently for those people, whoever that was. I know God woke me up out of my sleep to do that. And sometimes they never know. And there are times when I have been pulled out of bed to pray, and then I get a phone call a little bit later, you know, later in the day or whatever. Or there have been times literally when while I'm praying, I get a phone call, literally. And someone saying, "I'm just calling to ask, will you pray for me?" And then I don't know that there was a time I didn't tell them. I don't remember, but I would tell them, you know, God just told me to pray for your son, or pray, you know, pray for, I don't know what those situations are, but God knows. And I know how to approach God and tell him, I don't know what to pray for, but I'm praying for him. You know, touch him, Lord. And, you know, James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's important. It can be a job sometimes, but it's a blessing. Even when you think you're all alone, and you think you're the only one praying, and you can't tell nobody. You don't want anybody to know what the situation is. But God does know, and he will most assuredly have someone on the sidelines fighting the battle with you.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to move on. Thank you for those testimonies and sharing with us. We need to share more. You know, sometimes we run into the throne room of God. And that's a good thing to do, run into his throne room. But we need to take time, you know, even to commune together in prayer. So the Luke says here, chapter 18, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Now, those are great big words. Jesus didn't spend a lot of time on them. The Bible spends a lot of time on men ought always to pray. But now as we move on in this chapter, it says, the Bible now elaborating on itself, there was a certain judge who did not fear God nor regard man. So here we see here, we're pulling out our characters. And you all know I like to pull out characters because that takes time. That causes us to take time with the scripture. So we find out there was this certain man. We don't know who he was, but he was a certain man who lived in this city, a judge, and his character was he did not fear God. Now, that's a sad place to be in, but there are many people that are like this. He did not fear, someone help me here. He did not fear
God or men.
God or men.
Nor regard men.
Okay. Now, you all who have been with me, and I'm not going to be ashamed to say this, because it's part of my story, that I'm going through this, what I'm going through. So, I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know which way.
And here's the deal, Miss Velma. I'm an intercessor called by God. I stay in prayer and I pray for you daily. But I'm also on a team of 18 intercessors at my church. And I have you and I have Lady Christian on the prayer list. I don't go into any details about what it is, but they pray in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And we keep you guys lifted up in prayer 24/7. Amen. You and Lady Ann, 24/7. Anybody else needs prayer like that? I can put you on the list because it's like giving a dog a steak for an intercessor. Amen. So we got you. We got you.
Thank you. So I want to say here, thank you so much for your prayer. There was a certain city, a judge. Now this judge, we know, is a person of position, a person of power. He wasn't just, he wasn't righteous, but God had given him some authority. It's one of those things God gives. And not everyone who has authority is righteous. There are unjust judges, and there are judges that are not just. this man in this chapter here, there was a certain certain city, a judge. Now, a judge discerns between right and wrong. That's what a judge is supposed to do, discern between right and wrong. Well, this man here, and he was a judge, but he did not fear God, and nor regard man. So, but nevertheless, he was a judge. Now, that's one of those things where you say, I'll be daggone. This man is a judge, and he doesn't even do what is right himself. How am I supposed to respond to him? And that's one of those moments where you say, well, I don't have to obey him. He's not just. He's not doing what's right. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, you do what's right. But sometimes scripture causes us. Now, the scripture will call, scripture always causes us to do what's right. Always do what's right. But we can see in this verse, this passage, that God will give his people creative ways. He'll give us wisdom. He'll work it out for us. He'll show us how to do it in a righteous manner. And here is one of those situations. This man didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. Nor was a widow. Someone read for me. Now there was a widow. Someone be my reader.
Okay. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary.
Okay, stop right there. Now here comes a character here. We already saw the judge. Now here comes the widow. So we've got these characters here. And this character, this widow woman, now it doesn't mean she was old. Sometimes we might think she was old, and she may have been old, but not necessarily so. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him. She came to the unjust man. She came right to him. And she knew, I assume, that she knew that he wasn't just. She may not have known, but she found out that he was not just. But she came to him because, why? He's the judge. He's supposed to be just. So she goes to him. You know, he's got authority in the land. Authority in the camp, and she came to him. And she had been prepared. When she came to him, she had a petition. She had a petition for him. And she said to him, she said, get justice for me from my adversary. So she was seeking the right thing. Now, we already know he wasn't right, but whether he was right or not, she was seeking justice from him. Now, sometimes people, they ain't right, but they know right, and they do right to some degree. But this man here, he wanted justice. Verse 3. Now there was a certain.
Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary.
Okay, so she was seeking justice righteousness from her adversary, from her enemy. Now, we know he wasn't a just man, but she was seeking justice, which is what we are to seek. So she is seeking that justice from the Lord, we'll say, even though he wasn't a godly man. But she sought righteousness. She sought to get what was good. But we found out in verse 4 that he would not for a while. He wasn't going to give her no justice. He wasn't going to give her any righteousness. He couldn't give it to her. He didn't have it. And he wouldn't for a while. But afterwards, and that's an important word there, and we want to underline those key words that give us a time frame. She wasn't seeking that, but afterwards, whoever I call him.
Afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Bless you.
That's good right there. Now, this man said afterward, and he would not for a while. Now, that tells us one thing is don't give up. We don't want to give up. And it's so easy to give up. And this woman, he would not for a while. She would not for a while give her what she wanted. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man. So he's not thinking about God and he's not thinking about man. So he makes that declaration. I don't care nothing about God and I don't care anything about man. Yet, now here comes a big yet for us that lets us know, keep on knocking. Keep on trying, because if you're not long enough, and I'm not saying you will always get the answer you want, but I am saying God will never fail. He will not fail us. So verse 5 says, yet because this widow troubles me, she's getting on his nerves. And because she kept knocking and knocking, and we don't know how long she knocked, but she kept on knocking. And he said, yet because this adversary troubles me, troubles me. Am I reading it right?
Yet, because this widow troubles me.
Continually.
Yeah.
Continually to cover, continually.
To trouble me.
Now, what moved him? What moved him? Well, he didn't care nothing about the woman. What moved him was her continual knocking. And she kept on, and she kept on, and she kept on. And that's what I'm doing in prayer, in faith. I'm keeping on. And I don't know when, but I do know God is faithful and he will answer. So this woman here that continued to verse 5 continues. Go ahead.
Yet, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.
Okay, so she keeps on coming, and she did not give up in spite of. And so he says, because he was getting on, he was getting on her nerves. He said, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. In other words, this man ain't right. He ain't doing what's right. But when God gets ready to move you, whether you right or wrong, God's gonna move you. And he can work through unjust people. He can work through just people. But this man, it never said in the scripture that this man ever became just. It never said in the scripture passage that he ever did what was right, that he ever did what he should have done. But it does tell us, if we do what we should do, and it takes continual knocking sometimes, but we keep on knocking, and we keep on knocking, and if we keep on knocking, it says in verse 7, God shall avenge. He shall avenge his own elect. And that's us, his children. God's going to avenge us. He's going to come to our rescue. He's going to vindicate us. And we are the ones. We cry out to God day and night. Our time is getting away from us. We cry out to God day and night, though he bears long with them. And God does bear long, but God does avenge his children.
Amen.
So it says in verse 8, I tell you that he, God, will avenge. He will come to our rescue speedily. Now, that word speedily, for God, in our idea of speedily, is two different things. But God does come speedily. And we'll understand that better by and by, too. Amen. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, and this is how the scripture concludes, when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus comes again, will he really find faith on the earth? How many are going to hold on?
Help us, Lord.
You know, I want to be in a company that holds on through it all. So that's our scripture for this evening, is to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We don't know how it ended for this man, but we do know in verse 18, it says, nevertheless, when he, the Son of Man, shall come, when the Son of Man shall come, will he indeed really find faith on the earth? So, you know, we talk a good game with faith, a lot of people do, but it's one thing to talk it, it's another thing to live it. So that's our lesson for today. I hope this wasn't a discouraging lesson. It's just we got to face reality with things. God is faithful and God will see us through. So that's our lesson for today. I'm going to end in prayer. And then, as someone requested on last week, that someone would pray a special prayer for me. So I'm going to ask whoever. Did we say who would pray?
No. Do we have a volunteer that would do a short prayer for our teacher and for us? Sister Rochelle did the first one. Sister Piper did last week. Is there someone that would do a prayer after Sister Velma tonight?
I'll pray.
Okay, thank you. Sister Carolyn? Okay. We'll hear Velma's
going to
pray first, I think.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this class. We thank you. You are faithful. You are faithful, God.
Yes.
And how we love you and yes. how we praise you.
Oh, yes.
We ask you now to be with us through the week.
Yes.
And keep us in your care.
Yes.
Through our ups and downs, our valleys and our mountains. Be with us, Lord.
Yes.
We want to say thank you. And we pray for one another now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are.